I almost had some spirit fingers going there on the joy part. Yeah, that was wonderful. Our sermon, our scripture this morning is a little different. It's not actually in Exodus. Surprise. It's in Matthew. We're going to go Matthew 6, 7 through 9. It should sound pretty familiar. When you are praying, do not heap up empty phrases as the Gentiles do, for they think that they will be heard because of their many words. Do not be like them, for your Father knows exactly what you need before you ask Him. Pray then in this way, Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. The word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God, yes. So I realized a few weeks ago when I went on vacation, growing up, I loved going to the pool, and I loved being outside, and my wonderful mother always lathered me up with sunscreen. It's one of those things that even to this day, at 31 years old, I forgot for a second, she still tells me every time I see her to put on sunscreen. I'm sure I'll be, much older, and she'll still do that. But it's always an experience for us because every time she puts it on, I have this little, I don't know, something about the sunscreen on the back. It makes me, do this weird kind of dance. I just don't really like it. And so one time, she decided she'd have a little fun. And so I came into the room as she was going to put it on my back. And I see her open the freezer and pull out the sunscreen and shut it. And I thought, no, this is not happening. But I tell you this story because when I went on vacation a couple weeks ago with my family, I was watching my parents get ready to go to the beach, and I look over, and my mom is going to put sunscreen on my dad, and it was strange. It was a surreal feeling because I look and I see him, and he almost has the same movements as I do when it comes to putting on sunscreen. I mean, it was perfect, and it just got me thinking, like father, like son, right? Like father, like son. The Bible has such rich language for describing and naming God, Creator, Lord, God Almighty, God our Provider, Jehovah Jireh. God is described in many ways as a mother bird, a mother hen protecting her young, her flock, and of course we have Heavenly Father. These are just a few of the names given, and so I decided today that we need to talk a little bit more about Heavenly Father. We need to talk about the fact that we can call God Our Heavenly Father. I mean, when I stop and think about just the world and how this whole place is created by God, and the fact that we can call that being, that person, however you want to word it, Father, is pretty mind-blowing. And it's something that growing up in church, you hear almost automatically from people, and I don't ever really stop and think about it like I should, I believe. And so we all approach different ways of speaking about God differently. We all come to it with our own cultural lens and personal experience and what we've been taught. And really, Father means a lot of things to a lot of different people. And in fact, if I went around here and talked to you all about your fathers, I'm sure I'd hear a lot of very different stories as well. And in fact, in Jesus' day, when he called God his Father, he upset a lot of people as well. They were outraged that Jesus would refer to Almighty God as his Father and use that relationship to justify many of his actions, all of his actions. And in fact, this prayer that we pray so often in church that can easily for us become this ritual, there's a lot more to it than first meets the eye, and we're going to explore what did Jesus mean and what all is implied when he says, Our Father in heaven. We're going to be looking at that this morning. And when Jesus uses those words, our Father, he isn't making this outrageous claim. In fact, throughout Scripture, we see Israel have this relationship with God as sort of like a fatherly relationship. In Deuteronomy chapter 2, Moses speaks of God as being the rock whose work is perfect, whose ways are just, who's filled with faithfulness and without deceit. And he goes on to say in verse 6, he says, Is he not your Father who created you, who made you and established you? In Isaiah 63, the prophet writes, For you are our Father. Though Abraham does not know us and Israel does not acknowledge us, you, O Lord, are our Father. Our Redeemer of old is your name. And in the Lord's prayer, Jesus is talking about how we, humanity and God, have this unique relationship with each other. We see that God is neither male nor female. God is spirit, but perfectly has attributes of both. And, you know, we often talk about God. I've heard the reference, the man upstairs, which is, you know, sounds nice, but it's not very accurate by any means. But the biblical understanding of God arose alongside, you know, many other creation myths. And many of these speak of mythical gods in terms of being so high and mighty, that they are above all things, that they are, that they created and then they're off doing their own thing. But that's not what we see in the Bible. We see in the Bible a God who is not just majestic and all-powerful, but who's also has a supreme desire to be with his creation, to be with the children that he has created, to be with us as a parent with a child. The story of the Bible is this relationship. And this is uplifting to me because we don't often see that. I enjoy learning about nature. I love nature, and you all know that about me. And what we see here is a God who cares for his creation. This isn't always something that happens. We know this personally, but we also see it in nature. You know, sea turtles are wonderful, and they definitely set up their kids for, they find the right spot for them, but then what do? They leave them alone. You know, we see rabbits all the time. Rabbits, they actually visit their young only a couple times that first month just to check in, and then they disappear for the rest of their lives, and they don't see them anymore. Now, rabbits do this because they don't want to attract predators, but you can imagine that's what we see in nature. There's creatures called harp seals who they get about 2 weeks. The mom spends about 2 weeks with the babies, and then they're gone. She's no longer is in their family. You know, not all animals can be penguins. And what we see with God is the same thing. We don't see a God who just who's just involved at creation and disappears. But we see a God that is present and is there sustaining things. The book of Genesis says that humanity was made in God's image, not physically, of course, but spiritually. That we all have a capacity to know our Heavenly Father, to live spiritual lives of faith, and to represent God on earth, even though this ability is something that's been marred by sin. But each day we see is a day that's watched over and witnessed by God. We see a God who looks out into what he's made and describes it not just based on its atomic makeup, but also as good. We see a God who who grieves, like in Genesis 6 before the flood, where it says that it broke God's heart to look out and see the condition of the earth the way it was. As I often did with my own family when I was in high school. We see a God who's filled with compassion for his enslaved children, the Israelites, who hears their groaning and who goes and acts to do something about it. We see a God that's joyful, who's sad, who's jealous, who's righteous, tough, and a leader. We see a God that's like a father and like a parent. And I find a lot of hope in understanding God like this. I find a lot of hope in seeing that the universe isn't just this thing that is absent of God, that God just set into motion and then draws back from, but that our lives are more than just the product of random chance or scientific laws, but they're guided by love instead. That's the invitation that I think the Bible offers us to see. And if that's the case, if indeed our lives are guided by love as a father with a child, we need to ask ourselves, well, what kind of father is God? You know, as I said earlier, we all experience the idea of father. We all have different personal experiences of what father means. And in Jesus' day, they experienced a lot as well. You know, the Roman Empire in which Jesus lived conquered a lot of different peoples, and there was a lot of different gods and religions that were going on at that time. Many of us probably learned about the Greek and Roman gods. I know that was one of my favorite things to learn in school, is about all the different Greek and Roman mythology. You know, you learn about the great stories of Hercules and Poseidon and Zeus and so many others. The travels of Odysseus, avoiding the Sirens and the Trojan War, all those things. And those stories, they're interesting and they're so fascinating because they actually remind us a lot about us. The Roman and Greek gods were made incredibly like people are. While they had certain godlike properties, they were also incredibly conniving and sneaky and moody, and they often fell victim to the same vices that we do as well. And people worshiped them and made sacrifices to them and basically lived hoping that they didn't upset any of them too much, which is all understandable when you realize that they are made not in an image of God like we know, but an image more like themselves. There was a study that came out this week from some researchers from the University of North Carolina, and they interviewed a whole bunch of people, and they asked them, they showed them a bunch of pictures of people, and they said, well, what does God look like to you? And believe it or not, they found out that people create an image of God that is similar to what they want God to look like, which is actually, in the group of people that they interviewed, it was actually very young-looking, very attractive, and mostly white, believe it or not. We all tend to transmit our own image of God onto God, which is why it's so important to understand the power of what Jesus is telling us in the prayer, that God is our Father in heaven. In heaven. And that in heaven part is so important, because while God is relatable to us in many ways, God is also radically different. Radically different. God is radically faithful to his covenant and to his relationship with us. In Deuteronomy chapter 31, God says, I will not leave you or forsake you. I will not leave you or forsake you. In Numbers chapter 23, it says, God is not human that he should lie, not a human being that he should change his mind. Does he speak and then not act? Does he promise and not fulfill? In Psalm chapter 116, verse 5, it says, the Lord is gracious and righteous. Our God is full of compassion. In Isaiah 55, it says, for my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are my ways your ways, declares the Lord. As the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts greater than your thoughts. And so what I'm getting at is that when we think of Father, we think one thing, and God so often surprises us by being so much more, so much more. And that gives me a lot of hope, because it challenges me. It challenges me when I wake up in the morning and feel down and unworthy of love, or feel like God couldn't possibly love me based on what I did the previous day or didn't do the previous day. I remember that that's not how God is. God doesn't go back and forth on his love for us. When I'm tempted to judge someone based on superficial things, I remember that God judges based on the heart, not appearances. When I struggle to believe that I'm really forgiven, or struggle to have that faith that anything good can come out of this situation I'm in, I remember that God is not like me, that God is absolutely forgiving, that God sees the big picture when I can maybe only see a tiny little bit, and that God has promised to be our provider. When I wonder if God is absent, or I have doubts in my faith, when I struggle through those moments of wondering if God is here, I remember that the point of Christianity is not our faith, but it's the faith of Christ Jesus. It's the faith that he is perfectly faithful for us. And I remember that the Bible says that God won't leave us or abandon us, leaving us orphaned forever. And I think being a Christian invites us to see and have faith in that's the kind of God that exists. That's the kind of God that we worship. A God that in so many ways is like us, but in so many more ways invites us to see life and see ourselves in such a more broad, powerful way. And it brings me to really my final thought for the day, which is, how do we see that kind of God in a world that is so often different? In a world that is so marred by sin, how do we recognize the good God that the Bible talks about? I'll never forget, a few years into my ministry here at Brush Hill, I encountered a student who never really knew her father. And the stepfather that she did know abused her sexually many times over many years. And I remember sitting there thinking to myself, how can in the world can I talk about the good father that God is to this young girl that knows nothing of it? That knows nothing of it. And Jesus, in fact, in his time, lived in a time when the idea of father was seriously skewed just like that. He lived in Israel, which at that time was ruled and controlled by the Romans, and it was ruled by various dictators and emperors, or Caesars. Julius might come to mind. And as I mentioned earlier, in those days, the Roman Empire, you worshipped all kinds of gods. There was gods. There was people that worshiped Zeus, and they called him Father. There's people that worship Jupiter, the Roman god, and called him Father. And the Romans were okay with whoever you wanted to call Father as long as you called the emperor Father. The emperor of Rome was known as the Pater Patriae, which is Latin, and it means Father of the Fatherlands. Father of the Fathermen. See, the Romans, they used this strategy of legitimizing their rule by saying everyone that they conquered, guess what? Your father, the one that represents you, the one that cares about you, is this ruler in Rome. No matter that that very ruler used his power it was based on violence, it was based on fear, it was based on having absolute authority, and it was based on so many things that are not what we see in God. People were forced to worship the Caesar. They were forced into worshiping a distorted, self-serving, strength-valuing father of their fatherlands. And it's in this environment that Jesus tells his followers to pray a rather radical and politically dangerous prayer. To pray, "Our Father in heaven, not our Father in Rome. May your name be kept holy in our lives. Our Father in heaven, your will be done and your kingdom come, not the kingdom of the Romans." The prayer, the Lord's Prayer, is so much more than we give it credit for. It is a prayer of allegiance and alignment and love. Maybe some of you all have had a father that seemed a lot more like Caesar than the loving father we see in the Bible. Maybe you've had a father or someone in your life who's used their power to hurt or to demand authority rather than inspire it. Maybe you've had a father who wasn't present or who had a temper or who didn't treat your mother right or who in so many ways put you in a position like my youth did when you had no idea what a good father really looked like. And as a result, there's been something that's just missing. It was so easy to see in this young girl of mine just to see what she was missing in her life. It was so easy to see how that validation and that love and that gift that only a father can give was just so missing. And it's in that void that we are called to remember and to know God as our Heavenly Father. To find that healing of a father that is so unlike the devastating fathers of Rome and so many that we see in the world and maybe that we've experienced. It's into that reality that Jesus reminds us and shows us what the heart of the Father looks like. Because when we see Jesus acting, we see that he acts in the way that God acts. We see him welcoming the most vulnerable members of society, the children. And that is the heart of the Father. We see Jesus healing the Roman official's son with a word. That is the heart of the Father. We see Jesus describe God as knowing what we need before we even ask. A God who enjoys giving good gifts to his children. That is the heart of the Father. When we see Jesus having compassion in Luke about the widow who lost her son, and we see Jesus raising that son back to life, that is the heart of the Father. And when we see Jesus laying down his life, when we see him going to every extent possible known to man to sacrifice, to hurt, and to bleed for you, know that that is the heart of your Father for you. That is what God thinks about you and that you are his child. And that is the demonstration of that love. That is the thing that will heal that part in your heart that you're looking for someone on earth to fill that only God can. That is a father who uses their power not for themselves, but to serve and to give away. And this is the Father that we worship. This is the Father to model our lives after and, in fact, to devote our lives to. This is the truth that was lived and died and raised to new life for us to know. And this is the gift of the relationship that God is offering us today. I hope and I pray that if you've been resisting that call of God, that today is the day that you make it real, that you recognize and you hear that God is speaking to you this morning. That if you find yourself so caught up in sin and so distant from God, know that the heart of the Father, that he has come to you, that he is taking that first step, and that he has forgiven you already and is calling you to embrace him as he's embraced you through Jesus Christ. And for those of us in the church, we have the great gift of the Spirit, and that where we can go and that we can demonstrate that same love. There's so much I wish I could have offered my student that suffered, and there's so much that was beyond me. But what I tried my very best to do was to just love her and to be patient with her and to point her to people that I knew cared about her, to demonstrate in big and small ways that love that I know God has for her. And I pray, even still, I pray today, like all fathers do for their children, for this wonderful girl. And because I just know that God thinks of us as his beloved children, and I pray and I hope that that's what we know our God to be. Let us pray. God, thank you so much for being so good to us. Lord, I know how difficult it is in this world and in a life, God, where this idea of who you are is so distant to us sometimes. How we're so tempted to think of you on terms of how we think of ourselves. Lord, but God, I'm just reminded of how you are not like us. How Jesus calls us to pray our Father in heaven. And when we say that in heaven part, that we know, Lord, that you would give us an accurate picture, as much as we're able to comprehend, Lord, of just how amazing you are, just how faithful you are, just how you care for us, how you know what we need before we even mention it to you. God, I pray that those of us in this room would know that. Lord, that your church would believe that, would have faith in who you are. Lord, that those of us who have struggled with this idea of seeing you as a father would know that you are a father that sacrifices and gives, Lord, that you hurt and you grieve for us. God, that you gave your son to us as a sacrifice on the cross to rescue us from that hole in our hearts, Lord, that is just eating us up inside. That you are our God who rescues us and who restores our relationship with you, God, that we might have a good relationship with everyone through you. So, Lord, I pray that you would help send our church out to those people that maybe don't know that, God, and that we, through the power of your Spirit, can shed a little light and a little love in their lives. And we thank you for how you've done that to us through Jesus Christ, our Savior. And it's in his name we pray. Amen. In the Lord's Prayer, we say, "Our Father in heaven, holy be your name." Is God's name holy to you? Is God's name set apart to you? When you think of God, do you think of someone, like I mentioned, who is radically different, whose love for you never ends, who is calling you to treat people differently maybe than how you normally do? Is God's name holy to you? When God's name is holy to you, you'll witness a Father doing some powerful things. And I pray that as we sing this last song in worship, that we would remember to keep God's name holy in all that we do. Let us worship the Lord.